The following meditation is for Good Friday. It is called, What Are You Doing Here? The text for the meditation is found in the Gospel according to Mark at the 15th chapter and the 39th verse. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, Surely this man was the Son of God. The following meditation is different from most others. It brings to consciousness that timeless event that fashioned the past to be eternally and inextricably bound to every generation. Every generation that has dawned, and every one that is yet to come. The use of our imagination is required here to give wings to the event that left its distinctive mark on the annals of history. For our generation, too, must continue to emulate the mystery and the majesty of the crucifixion, and therein fulfill the will of God. Perhaps a retelling of the record of Jesus' crucifixion, allowing us proximity in the historical event while maintaining the event's essential details, may help us fulfill our mission. And so begins the drama. Hear ye! Hear ye one and all! I will have you know that I, Marcus Proclodus, I am in charge of all matters about to unfold here in this God-forsaken place called the Place of the Skull. Listen, every one of you, slaves and compatriots alike, I am going to read my authorization for this show. Marcus Proclurus, Roman centurion in the imperial guard of Emperor Caesar Augustus in the year 33 AD. You, sir, are authorized and commanded in Caesar's name and in the service of your country to oversee three criminals being executed today by crucifixion at the place called the Place of the Skull. Be it therefore understood that my soldiers and I, at the slightest provocation, will find enough wood to raise another cross or two in this forsaken place. So be it understood that we will tolerate no interference whatsoever. You and I have been standing fewer than 10 feet away from what will soon be the site of the execution. Without any warning at all, I find myself being searched by the empty eyes of Marcus Proclurus. You there! What are you doing here? Who? Me? I managed in a bare whisper. Yes, you. He shut back in a tone that revealed a heart of ice. What am I doing here? What am I doing here? I sought among the memories I have kept of this man Jesus. Memories? Is that all I had? Love? Isn't love something more than memory? I was awakened from my reverie by the hollow yet most piercing sound I have ever known. What are you muttering about? Don't know why you are here. Hey? Well, I will suggest that you came here to see death. You wanted to see Jesus, the King of the Jews, die. Tell me this. What difference will it make to you whether he lives or he dies? That sarcastic attempt at humor seared my soul. And in the moment's silence that followed, I waited for love to express itself demonstratively. You and your mob, take a seat back there with the other spectators. My boys and I are going to while away the hours with a game of dice. We wouldn't discard anything good that these worthless wretches might have possessed. Ah, Jesus, my soul is lying bare before you now. Even though a hateful and vengeful mob surrounds us, you see my shame at my inability to express my love and commitment to you in response to the centurion's question. What are you doing here? Now I can lift my eyes no higher than your feet, but I want to look into your eyes. My son, it is Jesus who addresses me. My son, I see no shame in you. Love is a force altogether too great to be contained in human words. Love is a power that breaks through all words and escapes. There is a room reserved inside of me that has your name written on the door. And I also know that a room inside of you has my name engraved on it. And that is what love is. It will never find expression in mere words, but it is power and life that is not hidden from the world, yet known only to those who alone have faith in God to be able to see it. I follow his gaze. I see the indescribable pain consuming the face of Mary, his mother. I share a close affinity with John, Jesus' close friend, as in demonstration of his room reserved for Jesus. He makes ready now to share it lovingly with Jesus' mother, Mary. And in Jesus' look, I hear his command to me, go now and do likewise. I saw also when Jesus' eyes locked with Peter's. I know that look, and I knew the message that Jesus was conveying to Peter. Peter, my friend, your inner room that has my name engraved on it remains occupied by my spirit. It is still mine, and you are still mine. The world's power of fear, with its resulting behavior, will never destroy love. Thanks for coming here, Peter. As you share now in my suffering, you will share also in my glory. I am yours, and you are mine, forever and forever. 6, 4, 2, 1. I win, shouted Proclus the centurion in triumph. I win the Nazarene's robe. You there. That dreaded voice that chilled my soul is once again directed at me. You. Come here and help me put on your friend's robe. With steps of lead, I lumbered forward in his direction. And as I did, I held in mind the story that Jesus told us one day about the prodigal son. In that story, God ordered his servants to fetch the best robe for his wayward son to wear in order to demonstrate his love and his forgiveness. Words abandoned me as I sought to fit my Lord's robe around the centurion's hulking shoulders. Then a holy hush seemed to envelop the hill, as though a thousand silent trumpets ordered it in preparation for a victory, another victory. God chose a most unlikely candidate to announce that victory. And when the centurion, who stood there in front of Jesus, saw how he died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. Who in all the world would ever have thought that this immortal testimony would break in upon the world from the lips of this man. It was the death of Jesus that moved him, scriptures indicate. And we are left to ponder, what is our testimony? Prompted by the great news that followed just 2 days afterward, what will the world remember as our testimony to a world still filled with hatred and darkness? Will they hear us say, "He lives. He lives. And he will reign forever and forever"? Let us pray. What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow, thy pity without end? O, make me thine forever, and if I fainting be, Lord, let me never, never outlive my love for thee. Amen.